Welcome back to Locker Room Dads, hosted by myself, Pat O'Donnell, punter for the Green Bay Packers. Sitting beside me is my co-host, Josh Brinzo, brewery owner and a dad of two. Today on the show, we have a special guest fresh off the greens in Tucson, Arizona. Just got off the plane. He is our first live golfer on the show. Welcome, Taylor Gooch, to the show.
What's up, fellas? Thanks for having me.
Of course,
man. Thanks for being here.
So with that introduction, your name Taylor, no Y, did a little research on you. Is that a family thing? Drop the Y?
Yeah, my parents wanted to continue the tradition of making names difficult to spell in our family. So they decided to make people wonder if I'm Towler or Talor or Taylor. So yeah, it is kind of a family tradition to spell names uniquely on my mom's side, and so they kept it going with me. So it's I don't think they realized the challenges that it was going to cause, but I remember playing a mini tour event, and right when I turned pro, and I they gave me, you know, I finished whatever place, and they gave me a check, and because the name was spelled wrong with a Y, I couldn't go and deposit the check. And so, yeah, there's been a few, like I said, challenges with it, but it makes for a little fun topic of a discussion too. So,
what's the craziest name in your mom's side of the family? Anything outrageous?
Nothing outrageous. Just like my mom's name is Amber, and it's spelled AMBRE. And so it's just like little odd, funky stuff like that. Like my sister's name is Cassidy, and it's CASSIDI. And so, like I said, just kind of weird little things like that. My daughter's name is Collins. We didn't go anything crazy with it, but it's Collins with a C. So like I told my wife, I was like, we can make it like try to make it a little bit unique, but I've had enough challenges with it that let's kind of stop it at this line in our generation so that she can ease up on exactly
it. Well, speaking of baby girl, tell us about her. 20 month old, yep. Right, one daughter.
Yep. 20 months, yeah, right. She was born July 7th 2021, which was a Wednesday, and she had some, like, her blood sugars were a little bit like they up and down right in the beginning. And so she, we had to, they had to admit her to the NICU for, 48 hours just to watch her, and everything was good. But, what made it challenging, especially obviously other than kind of the little scare, was I was set to leave Sunday, 4 days after, to go to the British Open, and and literally went straight from the hospital. My wife and daughter hadn't even left the hospital yet. They were being like admitted, or they were able to leave the hospital Sunday afternoon, and I had to leave at about 9 a.m. to go get my flight to head over to Europe. And so it was quite an introduction. My wife and I joke, it's like, you know, we just introduce our girl into the craziness of a professional golfer's life right out the gate. So we had her, and we just, it's been craziness ever since. Like I said, she's about 20 now, for her two-year birthday, we're going to be back in Europe again. And so she's getting a little bit spoiled, with the travels of professional golf so far, but it's, it's a blessing, and it's awesome to be able to, you know, bring your family on the road with you and show, you know, she doesn't know it yet, but, like show her a little bit of what the world's going to be like.
Yeah. Talk us through how you guys travel. Do you do commercial? Is it private? I know every guy's different.
Yeah.
But if you have the family, I don't know if Liv paid for the family, if you got to foot the bill for that. Like, walk us through that, because I know a lot of people don't really understand how that
works. Yeah, so we do a little bit of private and commercial. The way that Liv works, which is different than the PGA Tour, is they cover our travel expenses. Now that isn't, calling up NetJets and covering that expense, but just your generic, you know, commercial flights, your accommodations and you know, everything that else is involved, they cover. And so, you know, generally speaking, for me, if I'm with my family, we won't necessarily fly privately often. But, you know, if I've traveled away from my family, like in about a month, I'm going over to Australia. I have to go to Australia and Singapore back to back weeks. And I'm not going to bring the family with me. And so like, if I'm coming back now, I'm not going to fly privately back from Singapore, but if there's like an instance where I've been gone from them for a couple weeks or something, you know, and the tournament ends on Sunday, it's tough to get back to Oklahoma City, Sunday night. It would be a little bit different if I, was, you know, flying to a major hub, but, you know, so if I'm coming back to Oklahoma City Sunday night, then I'll try to get home Sunday night to get here in time to tuck her into bed. So, man, it's crazy. You know, we call it the traveling circus, trying to figure out, you know, cribs at what hotels have cribs, if we need to bring a crib on the road with us, and everything that comes with traveling with a family. So, one of my buddies has four kids and, between the ages of like 2 and 10, and, you know, every time we start to think like, man, this is a lot, we just think about those families that have multiple kids and think, you know what, we'll be all right with the one for now.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious. So Live Tour, obviously you have less events, but they're more spread out. You know, there's no like West Coast swing, mm-hmm. East Coast swing. Do you find that to be harder trying to manage the family and go like to, I think you have a one in Jeddah. I know you have Adelaide, Singapore. Is that harder to go that far around and then come back home?
You know, it's yes and no. Obviously, like when you go to Jeddah for a week and you come back, like that, those 1 week trips are tough on the, you know, just your time clock. And, you know, you don't want to bring your family that far across the world and just for a week, or even 2 weeks. Like I said, when I go to Australia and Singapore, I'm not going to bring my family with me. It's just quite a bit of travel for, you know, me still just working and not being able to make a vacation out of it, you know? So, so there's some challenges, but like you said, the overall, man, it's a lot more conducive to traveling with the family. You know, like you said, on the PGA Tour, on the West Coast swing, I would play 3-4 weeks in a row, and sometimes 5 weeks in a row. And, you know, I don't want to travel with, you know, I don't want to have my girl on the road for that extended period of time. She's in a Mother's Day out a couple of days a week. She's got swim a couple of days a week. So I want her to have, you know, somewhat of a, even though she's only two, I want her to start to understand like what like a normal life is and being at home and a schedule and doing normal things that normal kids do. And so that's important to both my wife and I. And so, you know, it's nice not having to choose, okay, I'm going to be gone 4 weeks, 5 weeks at a time. Which weeks are they coming? Or am I going to try to pop home between, you know, week two and week three, or, you know, how's that going to work? So, for me, you know, that was, you know, a lot of people get, a lot of Live players have gotten scrutinized in that subject matter because everyone's like, you know, you went there to play less golf, but blah 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 blah. But it's not necessarily to play less golf. It's to have a more conducive, you know, schedule for your family and time, you know, and having, you know, a more normal life, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, that's totally fair. You don't want to be on the road 5-6 weeks straight going back. That's a lot of travel anyway, especially when you're going across the country from west to east and wherever. I mean, that wears on.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah. You being in both leagues, you do find it better for Live though, for travel.
Yeah, for sure. Like I said, we joked about it this last week. This was the 10th tournament of Live's short history. Right. And so, obviously things are changing and we're still figuring out stuff out there. And so we'll see, you know, as things kind of settle in over the next year or two, But, you know, thus far, it's certainly, you know, like I said, it's certainly better for me and my family.
Nice. That's good. So the guys that you're with, you know, the Range Goats, it's essentially family, right? Unless something happens. I'm not as versed in the team aspect, right? Because it's probably different than you coming from you, your personal brand, you represent yourself, and then now you're like amongst the team. It's kind of like me, like as a punter specialist, you're like,
yeah,
I do my job, but like I'm your with the team. Too. Like, walk us through that. How has that transition been like for you to like join a whole team aspect versus just you out there playing?
Yeah. You know, it's every golfer we grew up playing, you know, elementary, middle school, high school, call it like we grew up playing team golf, even though it is an individual sport. And for me, I grew up playing a bunch of different sports. And so like the whole team aspect has always been a really like a big, it's a huge joy for me. Like I love playing for something bigger than myself, being a part of something that's bigger than myself. And while obviously golf is very, you know, individualistic, you know, it's been cool to just add that team aspect. And especially like this year with a new team, I was on a different team last year. It's like, we're, you know, getting to know each other. I'm sure it's just like, you know, in every other sport, like, you know, the locker room feel and like that camaraderie and building that rapport with your teammates. It's just cool. And it's different, you know, it's an aspect that someone like me who grew up playing team sports, I really enjoy it. And it's, you know, it's just building something. We're building something cool, building something different. And like I said, I keep saying doing something for more than yourself, building something bigger and doing something for more than just, you know, your own thing. And that's what's cool about the team aspect. It's like I said, you know, as a punter, a specialist, like, yeah, you go do your job, but your job, you know, directly impacts the bigger picture. And that's, you know, just the same with what we're doing. You know, if I go shoot 63, yeah, that's great for me, but it's just as great for the team, you know? So they both tie in together.
Does it take a little bit of the pressure off? I mean, I know you still have pressure, you got to score well, but you're not just out there by yourself. Is that a fair question? Like, I don't know.
No. I mean, it's a great question. I think it's a question that isn't being asked enough in our kind of world of golf right now. You know, everyone thinks, and it's a huge push in the media world that, oh, these guys just show up and make money. And so what's the incentive to play well? Well, why does every other sport, when Patrick Mahomes signs a $300 million deal, why does he still show up and want to play? Yeah. You know, when Aaron Judge signs a $500 million, like, why do these guys still show up? And it's because we're athletes, we're competitors. Like, we want to go out and do what we don't want to lose, plain and simple. And so, you know, for me, it's actually, it's a different type of pressure, and there's more pressureful moments, in the team golf part, because, you know, when I'm out there just playing by myself and it's not a team, it's like, okay, yeah, I've bust my butt. This is what I've wanted to do my whole career. But if I don't do well, like, I'm kind of letting myself down. Yeah, my team, my caddy, my coach, like everyone involved, like they're all part of my team. But, you know, I live and die by my own sword. Where with the team part, like I said earlier, I directly affect the rest of the team. And so for me, there's more pressureful moments throughout the week in the team golf than there is just in the individual part. Because like whenever I'm like this last week, the second round, I was like 2 over through 4. I kind of got off to a bad start. And like in times in the past, like I would just kind of shake that, and it just, you know, whatever's part of golf, it just, you know, there's highs and there's lows. But like, it just, for me, it like made me, I had more pressure on myself to like dig deep and rally and try to come through for the team. You know, more so than for myself in that instance, you know? And so, you know, I had about a 6-7 footer for par to not go like 3 over through 5 or 6, something like that. And like my heart was racing, and it might sound silly, but like that was a pivotal moment in that round for our, you know, for me, but for our team, because, you know, if I didn't make that putt, now you're really behind the eight ball and you got to claw back even more. And so, I think that's a great question, Pat, because it's a question that isn't asked enough right now, given the whole environment of professional golf is, you know, everyone thinks that there's less pressure on us out there, but, you know, in reality, pressure is always going to come from within, and I don't want to let the other three guys down, you know? So, yeah. For me, there's more pressure.
Is there one dude in the group that will, like, really chirp at you? Like, if you have a group of buddies, like, and a foursome that will chirp at you and be like, dude, what the hell was that? Like, come on. Or is it strictly business? Like, everyone is just kind of calm, cool. Like, it is what it is.
You know, it's funny bringing that up because one of my teammates on the Range Goats, Harold Varner, he likes to chirp a little bit. And we were talking about it. It's like, golf needs more of it, man. Like, we need to be more vocal. Like, we need to be more emotional. Like, we need to be kind of having some, you know, giving it to each other a little bit more. Like, whenever, like, I saw, who's the dude for the Lakers? Is it Austin Reeves, that guard for the Lakers? He just came out and there was, like, a quote where he said, like, someone asked him, like, why did you go to the NBA draft? Because he wasn't going to get drafted or something like that. And he was like, basically, so I can tell them all to F off because I want to prove them wrong. And when I saw that, I was thinking to myself, like, dude, if a golfer came out and said, like, I want to tell them to F off, we would be crucified.
Yeah.
And it's like, I understand like, it's a gentleman's game and it's cut from a different cloth than, you know, some of these other sports. But like, why does it always have to be like that? Like, yeah. Can we get to a point to where, like, you know, I'm coming down the stretch of a tournament.
Everything's like waste management.
Yeah. Or yeah. Even like like we're coming down the stretch of the tournament and I make a big putt. I like look at my opponent, like dude in the group who I'm trying to beat. And I jaw at him a little bit. Like, I think there's some progress that could be made in golf that could make the game for the fans from an entertainment perspective, like,
yeah,
just more entertaining. Like, that's why, like, when Bryson and Brooks had their kind of squabble the last couple of years, like, people loved it. Because, like, we want heroes and villains in sport. And golf, there's, plainly put, I think there's too many nice guys
out there, right? Yeah. Dude, I think, like, I got into golf when I was a kid. I know a lot of people our age probably did because of Tiger. But, like, I saw a guy out there who was, like, screaming exactly. When he made a putt. And I was like, dude, where was this growing up, you know? Because everyone would make a putt in the
beginning, yeah.
You know, like, right. Handshake. But then you got dudes out there yelling. I mean, I went to the Live event in Miami, and, you know, there's music going. And, like, you know, it's kind of laid back, but also, like, some pressure. I know, I think it was Sergio barked back at someone for talking during his backswing, yeah. And I loved it. I mean, there was a lot of fun, and it's, like, golf has been in this weird transitional period where there's like the golf influencers on one side and like the very pure mm-hmm. golfers. And it's like, where do you get the new people in there? And I think, you know, having some fun with it's the way to go. Right. I mean, you're never going to get the young generation with mm-hmm. being boring. So you gotta spice it up.
You're spot on, dude.
I love that. I love the chirping.
I
love
it too. Like I said, I wish we could more of it. Let's bring that to the game. Let's bring that to the forefront.
You're going to see us in Orlando. It's not too far of a drive.
Pat's already planning it out.
Dude, Colby, Kay Wayne at Joey D's was like, dude, you have mm-hmm. to go. You have to go.
Yeah, you got to come check it out.
I was like,
we'll make it happen. Let's do it. We'll take the van.
Oh, yes.
So I'm curious. Okay, so you've got your daughter. Is golf something you want her to follow up on?
I mean, I couldn't care less, honestly. Like, it's whatever she wants yeah. to do. I have a group of buddies that, we grew up playing baseball, football, about everything together since we were, you know, in elementary, and we're still tight today. And we all laugh now because, like, in high school, we used to be like, man, our kids are going to be the best athletes and blah, 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 blah. And now we're like, our kids are going to read the most books. They're going to be so smart. Like, you all see how difficult this professional sports game is. Like, so, yeah, I mean, if she wants to do it, obviously there's – it would probably – make me tear up a little bit here and there, but it's not something that I'm going to push her to do at all. My parents, my dad, you know, didn't push me at all. I just found a love for it. And so it, you know, if she finds a love for it, yeah, that'd be awesome. But if she finds a love for something else, then that'll be just maybe not quite as awesome, but pretty close to being as awesome. So it's totally in her hands.
Yeah. One of the dads on the course was like, your daughter might have some height to her. You know, you might want to put some golf clubs in her hands early. Like, all they have to do is break 80 and they can get a scholarship. And I'm like, I don't think it's that easy. So, I mean, I'm curious, like, what you had to go through, I guess, for all the kids out there that are trying to make it professionally. Like, what were the, I guess, the hurdles or things that you had to do to get your scholarship? Mm-hmm. Oklahoma State, yep. Right? Okay.
Yes.
Did you have to break a certain, like, score? Like, I know they recruit you, like, super young. Like, I'm not really super.
I'm not well versed.
Yeah. So golf's a little bit different than other sports from from the getting into college aspect. I think, you know, because it's so early. Like, kids get recruited so much earlier than other sports because, like, I was in seventh grade. I was 13 years old when the Oklahoma State golf coach first walked and watched me play a round of golf in a tournament. And from that point in time, you know, Oklahoma State is in golf is like, you know, the Alabama in college football, right? And yeah, so, yeah, you know, being from Oklahoma, having the opportunity to go to Oklahoma State was obviously, you know, something you're not going to pass up. And so, you know, for me, I had a unique path that I was close to home to one of the best colleges, and I was a really good junior player. And the head coach of Oklahoma State University at the time, his name is Mike McGraw, he always made it a priority to get the best kid in the state. He wanted the best junior golfer that graduated each year from Oklahoma to go to Oklahoma State. And so, you know, from early on, that was obviously a goal. I wanted to be the best kid coming out of Oklahoma. And so, you know, it's you don't see many, and it makes headlines when, you know, seventh and eighth graders commit to, you know, Kentucky basketball or, you know, it's Alabama football or something. Yeah. But I would say in golf, the writing is on the wall a little bit sooner than in other sports as far as, like, who's good and who's not. And there's obviously kind of late learners, but and late maturers, but that's why I think you often hear, like, dudes say, I wish I would have started playing golf sooner, because there is something to be said about kids that from a really young age, like, I'm talking, you know, 6, 7, 8 years old, like, there's something to it that, right, the earlier you start, like, you're just so much more ahead of the curve as far as learning and maturing and growing within the game. I always joke with people, like, I was getting my diaper changed on the golf course. Like, my dad would bring me out to the golf course with him. And I mean, since I was 2 years old. And so, it's all I've ever known. And fortunately, I grew an early love for it, and, I'm competitive. And so I didn't want to lose to dudes. And so, I figured out how to get pretty good at a pretty young age. So yeah, I kind of went all over the place on your question there, but golf is, it's so hard to compare to other sports as far as getting to that next level, because kids, you know, mature within the game so much earlier than, you know, Patrick Mahomes. Like, I know he wasn't the most highly touted player, but, you know, when he was in eighth, ninth grade, like, he probably wasn't a whole heck of a lot different than a whole heck of a lot of other players where,
right,
you know, in golf, there's a lot of kids that, you know, in seventh, eighth grade, it's like, all right, this kid's got a chance to make it.
I mean, I was at Baylor and I had, We're probably in college around the same time, and I had heard your name. So you were definitely known around other areas. Talent shows in golf,
correct,
especially at a young age. And it's really, really cool what you can do as a kid.
Heck yeah. No, I love talking about this because I am obsessed with Full Swing. And I know there's a lot of stuff that's probably portrayed in a different way. Like, I love the Formula One, Drive to Survive.
Yeah.
And I think, I mean, okay, I'm going to put this on you. Do you think it's portrayed in a good light, like Full Swing? Or is it just, I feel like it's, like you said, the heroes and the villains. And it's just like combative. And they're like, oh, look at these guys, they're leaving. Like, I just like it from a standpoint of golf. Like, I'm at that age now where I'm like really into it.
You want a little more.
Yeah. And I think every football player is like that in the locker room. They love golf, and everyone's like, these guys are unbelievable athletes. Like, how do they play golf? And I know you probably look at, like, some football players. I know you mentioned Mahomes, like, quite a bit. You're probably like, how does that guy do that? I just wanted to see what you thought about Full Swing and if it's out of context, if it's exaggerated.
So
I'll actually leave that to you.
Watched Full Swing. I kind of know the – ins and outs of it just enough to know that, like, let's just say when people get in front of a camera, I don't know how authentic that's going to be. I think it's great for the game of golf. Like you said, it's intrigued you, and it's going to get a lot of people's attention. I mean, you know, I haven't heard that it's quite as good as the F1 Drive to Survive. But if it gets even a tenth of the amount of people to the game as it Drive to Survive got to the F1 circuit, like, that would be great for the game of golf. So I think it's great for the game of golf, but I have a very different perspective on things than the average fan.
Sure.
Well, let's change gears here.
Go ahead.
All right. So my daughter's in school. Pat's got his daughter starting up some school stuff. I know you said you got the mommy and me stuff going on. How do you find it getting your kid into school? Because I know, like, last Friday, my daughter, Billy, we got a message from the school saying she scratched a kid. And I just, like, worry something's going to happen every day, whether good or bad. I'm just like,
at least that was a good call. I mean, they called us today that Palmer had too much waste in her diaper. Like, it was too loose. And I said, why are you calling me?
Yeah,
like,
see, this is the stuff I'm talking about.
Bro, like, stop. Like, yeah, you change the diaper, like, yeah, congrats. Like, you guys want to raise?
It's weird. Sorry. When the kid leaves the nest, I guess, even if it's at a young age. How do you feel?
Man, that's a great question. It's, I think it's one of the good things that golf has done for me, and the just the nature of our profession is, dude, there is so much out of our control, and it is so constant and hectic that I'm like, you know what? Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. And fortunately, I got an amazing wife that has, in my absence over the last couple of years, has raised a really strong-willed, stubborn girl already. And so the only thing that, like, worries me is that, like, she's going to run some people over. And so I, if that's my only worry, then I think I'll be okay. So I could see some scratches or some something like that coming in the future. Cause she's, like I said, she's kind of a little feisty one. But yeah, I don't know. I really don't worry about that too much. And we've got a great, community around us. We've got great people here and people, you know, they're overwatching, the school that she goes to. It's weird calling it school because she's 18 months, like I said, golf has taught me to not be a worrier, and so I don't worry too much about it, but maybe in another 10-12 years we can have this conversation. I might have a different tune at that point in time.
I'm thinking months.
Yeah,
I don't think it's gonna take that 10-12 years. Dude, I've been there. I know what you're in for. I look forward to it. I think you're going to be a good dad. It sounds like your wife's amazing. Sounds like she runs a tight ship over there, which every good professional dad needs a great wife to keep the house running functionally. Do you have any other questions, school-related?
Yeah, actually, not school-related, but food. Okay, so my wife and I fight about I wouldn't say fight. We're very indecisive about what we're going to do for dinner. Right. And it's the hardest part with your kid, though, you know, because you have to make sure everyone agrees that it's good for the kid, too. So we started HelloFresh. This is not a HelloFresh ad, by the way. But we started HelloFresh because we thought it was an easier way to, you know, cut out all of that. But I already know where it's going, that it's going to be tough. Do you find it tough trying to find a good balance? This is really a full parenting question here. Do you find it tough to find a good balance for finding like meals that work for
everyone? So for us, the HelloFresh has been a game changer because,
Oh, look, is all it, right. This is an ad for HelloFresh.
The food that Collins eats, the dinners, like that. Oh, it's Little Spoons. Okay, I thought it was Little Spoons. There you go.
Okay, yeah. Oh, well, we got that too. Okay, we got Little Spoon too. There we go.
Game changer, because you just, for me, when I'm the one in charge, like I'm just heating that thing up, and boom, like it's way more difficult for me and my wife to decide food than it is to decide the food for the girl. So, yeah, I'm sure that's going to change as she begins to get picky and only wants like mac and cheese and chicken fingers and ice cream. But fortunately, she's not at that stage quite yet. She has a way more diverse palate than I've ever had as a kid. That's for sure. She likes avocados and like all this stuff. Like she likes it all right now. So I'm just enjoying this moment because I know it's not going to stay like this for a while. But the Little Spoons is a game changer.
Mm-hmm. Shout out Little Spoon. There we go. Pat is a huge supporter.
Every night, microwave. Great. But she consumes the noodles way too much, like the ravioli.
Yeah, and the red sauce. We joke. My wife and I did our honeymoon in Italy, and so we obviously love us some pasta. And so our baby girl loves some pasta too, so the apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Dude, this is awesome. I want to hand over to Josh again for any more questions. I got like travel related questions. So if you
all about travel. Mine's travel too.
I just went to Hawaii and it was like a very scarring moment for me.
Pat wants to know what it's like traveling with kids. I'm kind of curious what your stop that you're looking forward to.
Are going to Spain at the end of June. So we go Spain, London, a week off, and then the British Open that will be in Liverpool. And so that week off, we're going to stay over in Europe and just basically be there for a month straight. And so I'm really, really excited for that. We actually have just brought on a girl that's going to be like a part-time nanny that's going to travel like some with us. And so really that was one of the big reasons why, because my wife and I were like, okay, when we go to Europe, we want to bring someone to help us so that whenever the baby girl down to bed, we can go get some food, go get some drinks, hang out, enjoy Europe a little bit. So that one I'm really, really excited about.
That sounds like fun.
So clutch. Nanny. Oh, we just did the NFLPA trip. Like there's a union obviously that runs in a locker room for each individual team. And there's like two or three guys selected amongst their peers to represent them for voting, et cetera. And it's like an all paid expense, like go out there for you and your wife. So we chose to bring the mother-in-law to Hawaii and it was an awesome trip, but man, it was insanely long from Florida. Dude, I don't know what I was thinking. I don't know if I'd do it again. I really don't. Yeah. But I want to see if you know, or your wife, I know she's probably in earshot, is the flyaway bed. If you don't have that, you need to look that up. Like, it's literally an air mattress. You pump it up, and everyone looks at you like you're crazy.
I'm going to ask, hey, Ben, have you heard of flyaway bed? Yeah, the blow-up bed? Yeah. So they're saying it's a must. Yeah. So, well, that's we're going to have it for this summer then. That's perfect.
Yes. Pat likes a good product plug.
I do.
A good one.
A product plug. I mean, I'm a huge Duna stroller guy. I don't know if you guys have that.
Yeah.
Just a bunch of strollers out there.
Game changer.
Game changer. Like,
I've got a funny Hawaii story real quick. So last year, 2022, the first tournament of the PGA Tour, like in January, is in Maui. And that's for anybody who's won on the PGA Tour, the 365 days prior basically gets to go to that tournament. And so we get to go to the tournament, and so we're flying out of Dallas, and obviously it's a long flight, and it was so weird when I was booking the flight. I was like, yeah, how is there no directs to Maui? Like, Maui has traveled enough. Like, it's just odd. And so we had to connect through Honolulu. And so I played the last 5-6 years, whatever it was, on PGA Tour, the second tournament of the calendar year in January is in Honolulu. So I've flown into Honolulu, you know, quite a bit. And so we get there, and basically our ticket, or we were flying through American Airlines, and it was like, you have to change to like this different terminal. And I was like, that's odd. That just doesn't seem right. And so we like go ask like the kiosk people, were like, where's this terminal? And this flight attendant was like, I don't know. I got to check on this. So it's like, she goes and like scrolling through the computer, and like 3 minutes later is like, you need to go get on this shuttle to go to this other terminal. Like, and you probably need to go now. And I was like, our flight's not for like almost 2 hours. What are you talking about? She's like, I don't really know how to get there, and I've never known anyone to go to that terminal. So like, you probably just need to go to figure it out. And now I'm like, what's happening?
What?
And so we go in like to like, yeah, three different places trying to find where the shuttle was to this other terminal in the airport. Well, we finally find the shuttle. We finally get to the other terminal. The terminal was a outdoor covered like gazebo, big gazebo type of thing, basically. And it was this airline that, like I said, I booked it through American Airlines.
Oh, man.
And
I have
I'm been sweating.
On this airline. I have been on this airline. I know, there's no AC, exactly, and it's outside, right?
Exactly. And so yes, we get here, and I'm with, like I said, my wife and our August, September, October, 6 month old. So similar to you, Pat, like what you just did. And I'm like, I'm not sure what's going on here. And of course, the flight gets delayed like 4 hours, and we don't know if we're going to like have to stay the night in Honolulu and then fly out the next day. And it's just an absolute cluster. There's storms all around. Like it's, a full-blown nightmare. And finally they're like
hey, this is my nightmare,
we have a 30-minute yeah, window basically between these two storm cells to literally hop from this island to this island in what we continue to joke and say in a puddle jumper little plane. We get in this thing, and it is like straight from like a Castaway movie type thing, where it's like you have to like turn the handle and click it a certain way to like get into the cockpit or to get into like to your seat and stuff. Like it is, and there's like 15 seats in this little prop plane. Like it is, I'm looking at my wife, and we're I'm just like, if we die,
do we have a life insurance policy?
Like, and of course, like there's literally like, it was out of a movie, like the storms and all the clouds and lightning and thunder, everything around. And of course there's no AC on the plane. It's humid as can be. Like it was a full blown nightmare. And of course, because of the delays and everything, like we didn't have any more like milk or like we were like basically out of food for a girl. Like, and it was literally a nightmare. But fortunately, we made it safe and sound, and now we have a scarred memory of it all, and we can now laugh about it. But in the moment, I was like, if I don't die from this plane, she might kill me when we land. So, I mean, it was like 30 minutes. It was,
But it's 30 minutes of hell.
Yes.
Your baby hell. Was screaming the whole time.
It was everything bad that you could imagine. Terrible. It was. And I'm glad it's now a fun memory.
Those are the moments that make you stronger as a dad. And that everyone says, like, dad strength, like, I don't know what happens, but it just harnesses in you, and you just...
You got to reel
1,000%. It's like, if I could get through that, I could get through anything, you know?
Oh.
Yeah.
some guy chirping at you, like, oh, I hope you don't miss this putt. Like,
birdie on 18.
No. Dude.
Yeah.
Flew on a puddle jumper.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Try taking a 6-month-old on a puddle jumper. Oh. No, but this pod has been great, man. We appreciate your time. I know it's valuable. We're taking you away from your wife and kid right now, but we'll wrap this thing up. Josh, any last words?
No, I just we're going to make our way out to one of the events down in Florida, so we're going to come see you play soon. So best of luck this
Rangers
season.
Range goes, baby. Here.
Oh, yes.
I appreciate you guys having me. It was fun.
We are ready. Oh, yeah. We are happy to have you on.
This has been great. All right, guys. Thanks for everyone listening to Locker Room Dads. We will see you next time. Later.